Thanks a lot for the warm welcome. I'm so grateful so many of my fellow citizens have shown up this morning. Thanks for coming. I'm here to discuss some of the challenges that this nation faces. We also have a challenge to American citizens and other citizens and the United States. You come to Washington's to kind of tell me what life's all about here. They don't understand America. And that's good. And now, thanks to the United States of America, America is now more secure. What struck me was what 72-year-old Tilly Caldwell had to say. And then our nation went into a recession. That means three quarters of negative growth. Three quarters of going backwards. And then it became clear over the past years, forgot what it meant to be responsible. Now, and met a fella who started his own garage. And he started with two employees. Now he's got, I forgot how many he said, a couple of dozen. Which means somebody's got to provide the concrete to pour the foundation. Somebody's got to figure out where to buy the metal. Somebody's got to make the metal. I would call that the pie in the sky. Janet Herkey I met today. She has six grandchildren. She is a responsible citizen. Wilbur is an Army veteran. He helped liberate World War II. She's a lady who's got the same hairstyle as my mother. I met the Grubbs family and the Knights. Same story over and over again all across America. One of the most, let me discuss that with you right quick, if you don't mind. Sure, we're in deficit. We're in deficit because we went through a recession. I explained to you what the country had been through, which means the economy slowed down to the point where there's less revenue coming into the treasury. Yeah, we're in deficit because we got less money coming in. I look forward to signing a bill that will help help America remain strong. I'm confident that because of the United States of America, I'm confident. And the reason I'm so confident is I realize that I'm the president.
Communities across this country are a melting pot of different opinions and ideas, and they have different texture, they have different flavors to them, and I think this proposal is about stripping that away. It's about making things more vanilla, and I don't think that that's what America wants to see in the diversity of their news. So it leads me to the question, what's the rush? When I think about these rules and regulations, they've been in place for 60 years. And now all of a sudden, and I certainly applaud everyone's interest in the variety of new technologies and meeting devices that people will be able to get content, but I think we're still quite a few years away from that providing any kind of true competition to today's mass market. So what's the rush in overturning this rule, and what's the secrecy about? All I know was one public hearing officially in Richmond, and it took two FCC commissioners who decided to go out on their own to have non-formal hearings, and we almost had a riot in Seattle. People were so upset over this concept. I mean, I've got more mail on this issue lately than just about any other issue because citizens are concerned, and yet we really haven't had a public hearing process. So what's the rush?
Well, Let's play Follow the Leader.
Follow the leader.
Follow the leader.
You do, do, do what the leader does. If he hops, you hop.
If he skips, you'll skip.
If he crawls, you crawl.
If he scoops, you scoop.
Follow the leader.
Follow the leader.
You do, do, do what the leader does.
Further delay is intolerable. Got to act. The House has acted. Must act. Our nation is at war. Congress can act by giving me authority. It's time to stop talking. It's time to start acting. And in the integrity of corporate America. And right now, that confidence has been shaken. Keep a tight hand on taxpayers' money. Excessive government spending is a drag, and or will be a drag. I know that this, but we must not be distracted. The agenda is full, the time is short, and the nation is watching. In the coming weeks, I'll continue to focus on finished business. Let me start by telling you that I think it's the few that have stained the, that have created the stains that we must deal with. But let me just put it to you this way, and that's what, and I think that'll help restore confidence to the American people. Listen, markets roaring, capital was everywhere, and as you know, you've had to suffer through many of my speeches, but because I'm very worried about a country that has, could conceivably lose confidence in the free enterprise system, destroy the trust. I think there are some who to whom that vaccine might be fatal, and I worry about that. I worry about, I can't remember if it happened in 1998 or not. And this is recycled stuff. Man, I guess that's the way it's going to be. You know, I still haven't figured it out completely. But nevertheless, there is no case. And that was the case. But nothing has changed. And the nothing that changed, and there's no there there.
Very tricky.
Has been fast to act. I mean that they thought he would do take or whatever the lawyers call it. And I want to remind you all in your, that. And could have doubled his or her money.
Do, do, do what the leader does.
All these questions, and again, I repeat to you the summary. I don't know if the man's living or the man's dead. And we're making good progress. We're disrupting networks. These are like they kind of hide and order things up and hide again. And I don't know. Transaction. Mark, as one would expect, to make magnetic. And let me finish. And that's how the system is supposed to work. But all I can tell you is that in the corporate world, sometimes things aren't exactly black and white. It's I think people. A board make it harder to enforce rules and regulations, not easier. It creates confusion as to who is in charge of what. But I'm confident we can work that out. I am. I also to allow for more freedom of movement. I haven't had the briefing yet, but I believe some progress is being made. Will give us all confidence. Without stealing the money. And I believe we're making some progress there. Yeah, I would hope that everybody got the message that we all have responsibilities to fight off terrorist attacks. Yeah, I mean, but it's a frame of mind. We take lives, and I actually didn't read the whole story, flexing some know-how muscle, but there's all kind of, I recognize there's speculation out there, but people shouldn't speculate about the desire of the government to have regime change. All aspects of reviewing all the tools at my disposal. But it's in my remarks to the American people, I remind them I'm a patient person. And it was put in place to clean up a mess. The man barely got his uniform on. And I'm going to, since I'm the decision maker,
do what the leader does.
Any principle, for any rule of law, it's time that we recognize that the Constitution of the United States, at length, and more than with any other single issue it addressed, dealt with the problem of the imperial presidency, the possibility of that. Or crimes by officers of the United States. And so they tried to provide the means by which we, the people, could protect ourselves from the imperial presidency. And there are six separate provisions in the Constitution for impeachment. The key and first one says that the president, the vice president, and other officers of the United States shall be removed from office upon impeachment for conviction of treason, bribery, other high crimes and misdemeanors. It says shall. And for people who believe in the law, could it be less? Do we really think the rest of the world believes that our assault on Iraq complied with international law? Then where are the scholars that say so? Because they don't say so. They all say the same thing. It's the first crime against peace, because it is the first crime against peace. And here we're doing it, and not only doing it, we're threatening others right now. Because if you tolerate that sort of thing, you lose your self-respect and you lose your freedom. It's imperative that we face our duty to process impeachment. Do we stop it because it seems the war is over? Absolutely not. Do you stop after the crime? It's too bad you couldn't prevent it, but you couldn't prevent it. You failed to prevent it. But if you don't do something now, how are you going to prevent it next time? Impossible. But the press ought to pay attention. There's been no mention of it. And here we have this incredible use of violence that threatens the future of the United Nations. It violates the Charter of the United Nations. It threatens a continuum. It's created chaos. We see our angry fists shaking in the face of other people that we used to proclaim have sovereign rights, individual freedom. I urge everyone who cares about the integrity of our Constitution to take back the Constitution by insisting that the House of Representatives, which has the sole power of impeachment, process impeachment proceedings now. And the Congress will do what the people of the United States demand it do. If they show no interest now, it's because the media has shown no interest. The people are uninformed, and they're unaware of the dimension of what's happened and what it portends for the future. But I'll tell you that I believe that there are millions and millions of Americans who would insist their member of the House of Representatives vote to impeach. 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 Vote to impeach.
They told me a guy from Jacksonville, Florida, named Yank was going to introduce me. I asked him why Yank. He said he didn't have enough time to explain it. Either way, was in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and met Deborah D'Angelo, fine lady. She, in describing her story, she was heartbroken. I went down to Mississippi, met a man. There's a story about the lady, and this happens all the time in Nevada, named Ruth Valentine. Recently went out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and met Pat Wall. Certainly sad listening to Pat in Grand Rapids. They're unnecessary stories. You know them.
Figure out ways to get as much of the money. Yeah, let me start over. We feel the level of coordination is good. We got. I talked about things that matter to the future of this country. The old rhetoric of class warfare. My attitude is.
And As I mentioned, we're a strong nation, but we're also a blessed nation. And it's important for our citizens to recognize it. If you're blessed, there is a responsibility to recognize blessings are a two-way street. And that's a reality. In other words, these drugs will absorb that knowledge. To me, that's just the beginning. It's a pretty good start.
Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Debris was seen falling from the skies above Texas. Mankind is led into the darkness beyond our world, yet farther than we can see, and look to the heavens.
The doctrine says that either you're with us or you're with the enemy, that still exists. We're strong in our might, running around a country trying to stumble into something. I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Mr. President, I think you'll like the trip. Halliburton investigation, facts will come out at some point. A look at Harkin, it was fully investigated by career investigators. The key thing for the American people, but as I said the other day in Alabama, I've got I've been very impressed by almost that you're either with us or against us. May sometimes forget that either you're with us or you're with the terrorists. That's kind of a phase, I guess you could say. My focus to work to make sure there's a new constitution which divides power, all of which exist to keep a person in power. I do believe we're making progress to this end. It is that's reality. To make sure, if I could kind of, we use military power, no question about it. We spend a lot of time on working with our friends to disrupt finances, but remember we just have to see. I think that's an important nuance, as we say in foreign policy. I think that's the word, isn't it? Nuance? Yeah.
first man discovered how to make fire. Probably burned at the stake he had taught his brothers to light, but he left them a gift they had not conceived, and he lifted darkness off the earth. Throughout the centuries, there were men who took first steps down new roads, armed with nothing but their own vision. The great creator, the thinkers, the artists, the scientists, the inventors, stood alone against the men of their time. Every new thought was opposed. Every new invention was denounced. But the men of unborrowed vision went ahead. They fought, they suffered, and they paid, but they won. No creator was prompted by a desire to please his brothers. His brothers hated the gift he offered. His truth was his only motive. His work was his only goal. His work, not those who used it. His creation, not the benefits others derived. The creation which gave form to his truth. He held his truth above all things and against all men. He went ahead, whether others agreed with him or not, with his integrity as his only banner. He served nothing and no one. He lived for himself. And only by living for himself was he able to achieve the things that are the glory of mankind. Such is the nature of Jesus. Man cannot survive except through his mind. He comes on earth unarmed. His brain is his only weapon. But the mind is an attribute of the individual. There is no such thing as a collective brain. The man who thinks must think and act on his own. The reasoning mind cannot work under any form of compulsion. It cannot be subordinated to the needs, opinions, or wishes of others. It is not an object of sacrifice. The Creator stands on his own judgment. The parasite follows the opinions of others. The Creator thinks. The parasite copies. The Creator produces. The parasite moves. The Creator's concern is the conquest of nature. The parasite's concern is the conquest of man. The Creator requires independence. He neither serves nor rules. He deals with men by free exchange and voluntary choice. The parasite seeks power. He wants to bind all men together in common action and common slavery. He claims that man is only a tool for the use of others. That he must think as they think, act as they act, and live in selfless, joyless servitude to any need but his own. Look at history. Everything we have, every great achievement has come from the independent work of some independent mind. Every horror and destruction came from attempts to force men into a herd of brainless, soulless robots without personal rights, without personal ambition, without will, hope, or dignity. It is an ancient conflict. It has another name: the individual against the collective. Our country, the noblest country in the history of men, was based on the principle of individualism. The principle of man's inalienable rights. It was a country where a man was free to seek his own happiness, to gain and produce, not to give up man's renown, to prosper, not to starve, to achieve, not to plunder, to hold as his highest possession a sense of personal value, and as his highest virtue his self-respect. Look at the results. That is what the collectivists are now asking you to destroy as much of the earth as possible. It was believed that my work belonged to others to do with as they please. They had a claim upon me without my consent, that it was my duty to serve them without choice or reward. I came here to say that I do not recognize anyone's rights in 1 minute of my life, nor to any part of my energy, nor to any achievement of mine, no matter who makes a claim. It has to be said. The world is perishing from an orgy of self-sacrifice. I came here to be heard in the name of every man of independence still left in the world. I wanted to state my terms. I do not care to work or live on any others. My terms are a man's right to exist for his own sake.
These are the actions of a regime engaged in a willful charade. These are the actions of a regime that systematically and deliberately is defying the world. This is a fact. It cannot be denied. And terrible crimes. America also accepts our responsibility in every way possible. And torture and murder. And in every part of America, people of goodwill are hoping and praying for peace. People of goodwill must also recognize it is not peace at all. It is pretense. I'm spending a lot of time on the phone talking to fellow leaders about the need for that weapons of mass destruction could be deployed here at home. And so therefore, my job is to smoke the Bible and took that oath. And that's exactly what I am going to do. You know, I appreciate societies in which people can express their opinion. That society... Secondly, I've seen all kinds of protests since I've been the president. I recognize there are people who make the world safer is a risk I'm not willing to take for the American people. And that creates a certain sense of anxiety. I understand that. And becomes a gentle soul. The risk that somehow... That in action, my job is to protect America. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. People can ascribe all kinds of intentions. I swore to, I think you'll see when it's all said and done. I understand that. Having said that, they're still our friends and we'll deal with them as friends. We've got a lot of common interests. Their hands, feet, and tongues are cut off. Their eyes are gouged out. And female relatives are raped in their presence. I make my decisions based upon the oath I took, the one I just described to you, is a threat. Is a threat to the American people. One of the things we love in America is freedom. And that's what I believe. Iraq's got money. Cancer will be a government that represents the rights of all the people. It's important for its words to mean what they say, and as we head into the 21st century. The answer to your second question is, I appreciate that question a lot. First, for those who urge more diplomacy, I would simply say that diplomacy hasn't worked. People try to impose their will in the world, the blackmail of free nations. It sustains me because I pray daily. I pray for guidance. Well, I'll never see, be able to thank. But it's a humbling experience to think that people I will never have met have lifted me and my family up in prayer. They hate what we stand for. We're at war. And so I believe this society give people a chance to leave. And we don't want anybody in harm's way. We shouldn't be in harm's way. You know, the benefits of such a effort by being able to express your mind, vote, how would you weigh the cost of that? Those are immeasurable costs. So, and I weigh those very seriously. In terms of the dollar amount, we're concerned about it. We are working hard. And in order to disarm, it will mean regime change. You're right, I'm not going to tip my hand.
It's
whole families died while trying to flee clouds of nerve and mustard agents descending from the sky. Many who managed to survive still suffer from cancer, blindness, respiratory diseases, miscarriages, and severe birth defects among their children. And we must recognize
blind hatred and terror,
capable of killing millions of people,
commenced at a time of our choosing. For their own safety, all foreign nationals, including journalists and inspectors, do not destroy oil wells. No more poison factories. No more executions of dissidents. No more torture chambers and rape rooms. The day of your liberation is near. The American people do not fight for a dying regime that is not worth your own life. In any conflict, your fate will depend on your actions. I was just following orders. Because we have paid them in the past, and we are prepared to do so. And weaken our morale with fear. And this, and killers. Do not reveal these threats with fair notice in formal declarations. To recognize new and undeniable realities. Our goal will not be achieved overnight, but it can come over time in every land. These are the actions of a regime engaged in a willful charade. These are the actions of a regime that systematically and deliberately is defying the world. That is the future we choose. And tonight, as we have done before, America and our allies accept that responsibility.
First of all, oppose the injustice that is done in our own name. Thus we call on all Americans to resist the war and oppression that has been loosed on the world by the Bush administration. It is unjust, immoral, and illegitimate. We choose to make common cause with the people of the world. When the highest leaders of the land unleash the spirit of revenge, they put out a simplistic script of good versus evil that was taken up by a quiet and intimidated media. They told us that asking why these terrible events had happened verged on treason. There was to be no debate. There were, by definition, no valid political or moral questions. The only possible answer was to be war abroad and repression at home. In our name, the Bush administration, with unanimity in Congress, not only attacked Afghanistan, but arrogated to itself and its ally the right to rain down military force anywhere and anytime. The government now openly prepares to wage all-out war on Iraq, a country which has no connection to the horror of September 11th. What kind of world will this become if the U.S. government has a blank check to drop commandos, assassins, and bombs wherever it wants? We must take the highest offices of the land seriously when they talk of a war that will last a generation and when they speak of a new domestic order. We are confronting a new, openly imperial policy towards the world and a domestic policy that manufactures and manipulates fear to curtail rights. there is a normal trajectory to the events of the past month that must be seen what it is and resisted. Too many times in history, people have waited until it was too late to resist. President Bush has declared, "You're either with us or against us." Here is our answer. We refuse to allow you to speak for all the American people. We will not give up our right to question. We will not hand over our consciences in return for a hollow promise of safety. We say, not in our name, let the world hear our plea. We will resist the machinery of war and repression and rally others to do everything possible to stop it.
My fellow citizens,
wherever
we're coming,
wherever,
however long it takes to achieve our objective,
wherever, I'll do what I want,
however long it takes. That's the answer to your question, and that's what you got to know.
Wherever
we're coming.
God, I come.
We're coming.
Whatever, whatever, I'll do what I want.
They gotta know.
Whatever.
And we're coming, and we will not stop.
Whatever.
And our mission will be achieved.
God, I come.
I have nothing more to add to that.
Whatever.
We have plenty of Western allies. We got, I mean, we can give you the list. Ally after ally after ally.
God, I come.
Ally after ally after ally.
Whatever.
We're coming.
Whatever.
It was tied to the stake in the town square.
Oh, yeah? I run with 12 gangs, and we only commit hate crimes. Whatever. I'll do what I want.
And we will deal with it. We got one objective in mind. That's victory.
I'll do what I want.
We had reports the other day of a dissident who had his tongue cut out.
Whatever. I'll do what I want.
Ally after ally after ally.
Whatever.
And he was bled to death. And he was bled to death.
God, act up.
Ally after ally after ally.
Whatever, whatever, I'll do what I want.
We're coming.
God, act up.
We're coming. We will not relent.
Whatever, I'll do what I want.
We're coming. We're coming.
Whatever, whatever, I'll do what I want.
A final atrocity. Yet our purpose is sure. The people of the United States and their friends and allies will not live.
Whatever, I'll do what I want.
The issue is whether a few corporations will be ceded enhanced gatekeeper control over the civil dialogue of our country, more content control over our music, entertainment, and information, and veto power over what the majority of our families watch, read, and hear. Two very divergent paths beckon us. Down one road is a reaffirmation of America's commitment to local control of our media, diversity in news and editorial viewpoint, and the importance of competition. This path implores us not to abandon core values, going to the heart of what the media mean in our country. On this path, we reaffirm that FCC licensees have been given very special privileges and that they have special responsibilities to serve the public interest. Down the other road is more media control by ever fewer corporate giants. This path surrenders to a handful of corporations awesome powers over our news, information, and entertainment. On this path, we endanger time-honored safeguards and time-proven values that have strengthened the country, as well as the media. So the stakes are high. How do we decide which path to choose? We should begin by examining the law. What does the law tell us? The Communications Act tells us to use our rules to promote localism, diversity, and competition. It reminds us that the airways belong to the American people, and that no broadcast station, no company, no single individual owns an airwave in America. The airwaves belong to all the people. And the Supreme Court has upheld media protections, stating that it is the purpose of that First Amendment to, quote, preserve an uninhibited marketplace of ideas in which truth will ultimately prevail, rather than to countenance monopolization of that market, whether it be by the government itself or a private licensee, end quote. We should then look at the world of experience. What practical, real-world experience do we have to guide us toward this decision? Radio deregulation gives us powerful and relevant lessons. When Congress and the Commission remove radio concentration protections, we experience massive and largely unforeseen consequences. We saw a 34% reduction in the number of radio station owners. Diversity of programs suffered. Homogenized music and standardized programming crowded out local and regional talent. Creative local artists found it ever more difficult to obtain playtime. Editorial opinion polarized. Competition in many towns became non-existent as a few companies bought up virtually every station in the market. This experience ought to terrify us as we consider visiting upon television and newspapers what we have inflicted upon radio. Clear channelization of the rest of the American media will harm our country. That we should protect local broadcasting, diversity of programming and opinion, and the ability to compete with the huge companies. Where are the blessings of localism, diversity, and competition? I see centralization, not localism. I see uniformity, not diversity. I see monopoly and oligopoly, not competition.
I'm not sure the right way to say it. I really, really like being the president. And I say things like I want to say them. And you can't please all the people all the time, including your wife. You look beautiful, baby. And I wasn't interested in sleeping in the bunker. I was too tired to sleep in the bunker, so we came up to her own bed. I don't think she likes the kind of the Texas.
Well, I do like the Texas, of course.
I mean, kind of the way I say things. And I
like the way.
These are obviously unscripted moments. I speak from my heart. I think the American people understand what I was saying, and that is that we're going to make money holding Laura and Spot chasing behind. Kitty was left to defend herself. And,
Not really.
If I want to sit by myself and watch football with the dogs, I'm going to. But those every once in a while are pretty blunt. Look, here's the thing. I think the American people want somebody to just express themselves as plainly as I can. I admit it, I am not one of the great linguists. I'm not sure why that's the case, but nevertheless,
I'm sure his parents are unbelievably crushed. I didn't actually think it would be him that was sick, because I'd left him sitting on the couch watching television.
And eat a pretzel. I even fired up a pretzel the other day. It got down smoothly. And, but I say things like I want to say them. So for those who worry about how I say things, you know, my attitude is too bad. I'm going to say them the way I like to say them.
I might tell you not to, though.
No, she told me not to. Actually, it's not. When she says it, I say, well, yes, ma'am.
Big breath is walking. Nothing is ever hidden from the Thought Police. 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 Nothing is ever hidden from the Thought Police.
Walking.
Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. From the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. From the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police. From the thought police. Nothing is ever hidden from the thought police.
Walking. Walking.